Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to celebrate this Christmas season, and I hope you're able to walk with the church in these days and to be lifted by the Word of God, be lifted by the truth of what we've been given, each one of us, in Jesus, in the incarnation, in the relationship that we've been given with God the Father. As the great gift that Jesus gives to us, God the Father gives us his Son, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave us his only Son. It's the love of God which moves him to give what is most precious to him to us, which is his Son, who is the Savior of all. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost, and that's you and me and everybody else who walks the planet. And then Jesus gives us what belongs to him. He gives us his relationship with the Father, his love for the Father. He gives us a share in his full inheritance, which is the kingdom of God, and gives the human race a future, which means you have a future and I have a future beyond death, which we talked about yesterday. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this weekend, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. I encourage you to tune into Sister Ann's programs as well. They're so good, especially at this time of the year. It can really feed you. Also, our television programs, The Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal, which you can get at our website at renewalministries.net. Those are all there for you, given to encourage you in your walk in Christ. I've been deeply encouraged by the wisdom of the church and amazed at the insight of the church in giving us on Wednesday, the 26th of December, Thursday, the 27th, a look at two of the most important disciples in the scripture, St. Stephen, deacon and the first martyr, and the next day, John, the apostle, the one whom Jesus loved. Of course, Jesus loves all his apostles. He loves all his people. But the church takes us from this buildup from Advent, right? The anticipation of the coming of the Messiah and the light that's going to shine into the darkness and God's plan of bringing about the fulfillment of his covenant oaths, promises to Abraham and to the people of Israel, that he would establish David's throne forever, and he would bless the nations through Abraham's descendants, and all the prophetic reality of Israel. It's all building up to the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Son of God, which changes everything, right? God enters his own story in the person of Jesus, and Jesus becomes the answer to the anticipation, the prophetic anticipation of the people of Israel and what they were meant to be, a light pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah himself, you know, Jesus' coming kind of blows their mind as well, because God's plan is so much bigger and greater than just bringing a religious leader or just bringing another great prophet. He gives us his Son, who has in him everything that's needed to break the hold of sin and death over the human race, to make us a new creation in baptism, to give us a share in everything that belongs to him. There's no other human being that is by birth or by nature capable of giving us a share in what we most need, which we talked about yesterday, which is John the Apostle telling us that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us, and that life now is given to us. And now we have the power, he says, to become children of God, to become something we're not just by nature. In fact, by nature, we're separated from God. And this is why we die. We need to be united to God to be able to pass from death to eternal life. So the church in her wisdom gave us, immediately after celebrating the incarnation, a direct look at the full implication of what it means and what it looks like to become a follower of Jesus. St. Stephen and John embody for us what an apostle, what a disciple of Jesus looks like, how we're meant to live, how knowing Jesus transforms us in the way we think, how we live, our whole perspective, the eternal perspective that we live with, and how we walk out our faith on a daily basis. As I was preparing for this program today, I was thinking, you know, thank you, Mother Church, for helping us see what the Word of God brings to us. And it helps me see and understand what Jesus wants me to become. And St. Stephen didn't become that on his own resources, nor did the Apostle John. But it's a work of God in them. And it's a work that he promises he will do in each one of us. So, for example, why can't a CEO, a busy CEO, be a saint? Why can't a busy CEO today be a Saint John, a lover of Christ, one radically committed and have a mind filled with the renewing work of the Holy Spirit? Why can't a football player, why can't a plumber, why can't a housewife, why can't we all be saints? Well, we can be saints. The church gives us these witnesses precisely because the church knows, number one, we're called to it, we're baptized into it, and this is what it meant. It's not like we get plunged in the waters of baptism as a baby, and then as we grow up, we're kind of doing everything on our own strength and our own resources. Or like certain people, like priests or religious sisters, have Jesus like really radically centered, you know, forefront of their minds, and he's first in every way in their life. That's the way of a disciple, not just the way of a religious. We express it differently in the world, but we're all called to be radically, radically given over to Jesus, just like St. Stephen and just like St. John. So why not? Maybe today you're listening to the program and you're a businessman, maybe you're a banker, maybe you're a lawyer, whatever it is, male or female, maybe you're a professional athlete, who knows what you are. The question we're all supposed to ask ourselves today, I think, in receiving these models that the church gives us of what happens when a human being radically says yes to Jesus, a sinful human being says yes to Jesus, what can happen? And this is who we're supposed to be. This is who we can be, not just supposed to by obligation, but this is who Jesus wants us to become. And friends, the great thing is this is the way to live. These brothers were totally free. They were living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. They knew who they were, and they understood the big picture. They weren't fooled. They didn't get seduced into believing and actually, you know, in our mind, believing one thing in faith, but actually how we live out our life every day is we're pursuing all the idols that the world pursues, and we're living as if this is the only reality. And Jesus takes a back seat. God's purpose and plan and the radical pursuit of holiness takes a back seat because we're so consumed with everything else. We're fools if that's what we're doing. I mean, I think the church is gently saying that to us as they present us St. Stephen and St. John. So again, today we get a reading. It's continuing. We're going to get it for a few days now. The first reading at Mass each day is taken from the first letter of John, and we began with that yesterday. I want to pick up literally the next verse is what the church takes up. It's verse chapter 1, verse 5. So again, beloved, John is talking to us. We're the beloved of God. It says, beloved, this is the message that we have heard from Jesus Christ, and we proclaim to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. God is light. Remember what we said yesterday, read from the Gospel of John, that first chapter? It said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So John talks about life, and he talks about light. Life and light. What's the life that he talked about? What's the light that he's referring to? Well, what he's referring to is that the life that was in Jesus, he called it, we read yesterday, the eternal life that was with the Father. A life that no one in this world had ever touched and seen. He said, it is eternal life appeared to us. And we're telling you, we saw it in the person of Jesus in many ways, but ultimately through his resurrection from the dead. We saw him, we touched him, we heard him, we know he rose from the dead. But we're not afraid to tell this to anybody because we know this is absolutely true. And knowing that Jesus rose from the dead and he's now living a life beyond death, and he promised that's the life we're now connected to in him, I don't have to worry about not making it, quote unquote, in this world. I don't have to get along with everybody in the sense of I don't have to conform to the world's demands on me. I can live radically for Jesus and let the chips fall. I just don't have to worry about it. I'm free now because I know where my life is headed. So again, here's John coming right back at us. He said, this is the message that we have heard from Jesus Christ and we proclaim to you. Now, friends, do you think John is a liar? Do you think he's deluded? What do you think? I think he's of sound mind. I think he is a truth teller. I think he's a saint. And here's what he's telling us, what he knows for sure, that God is light. All right? He said yesterday that God is life. the eternal life that was in Jesus is the light for the world. In him was life, and that life that was in him is the light of men. That life is what shows us something none of us can see. We're in the dark about who God is in eternity and God's eternal plan, but Jesus revealed a reality that's beyond our capacity to reach and comprehend. We saw it now. We've touched it. He's come to us to say there's more going on than just what we see and touch and feel here every day. So God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, now he's going to start transitioning, talking about what was in Jesus, and then the full implications of what it means to walk in the light, and what is opposed to the light, and how the life that's in us, that's been given to us by Christ, how that life unfolds itself in us. Again, in John himself, we saw it in St. Stephen. Now he wants to teach us something here. He said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, that is, we're united to Jesus, while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie. We do not act in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's a lot packed in there. So he's talking about the light that's in Jesus. The light that's in Jesus is the eternal life that's in Christ. It's the life of God. It's the sinless, perfect, indestructible, loving life of God, eternal life. The darkness is the darkness of sin in the fallen world. And so the contrast between darkness and light, and St. Paul will preach something very similar. The revelation that Jesus gave him directly when he, you know, when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he called Paul to preach the gospel and to lead the Gentiles from darkness to light. And then he went further to say from slavery to Satan to God. So we're talking about darkness is the kingdom of darkness, the satanic kingdom, and sin that the satanic king consistently tries to lead us into. Jesus showed us that we have sin-sick hearts, that we love things that are harmful to us, that we're always trying to assert our own will over against God in different ways. So John is saying, you know, some people say, I don't need to convert, or there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to be fixed. I mean, very clearly the world is saying that today. I don't need a savior. There's nothing wrong with me, right? So what that is, that kind of an attitude is to call God a liar, is to call Jesus a liar, because Jesus revealed the sin-sick condition of the human heart, and he came as a physician to give up. He became, you know, that sin for us. He died on a cross to cleanse us from all sin. And John's reminding us of that. The blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin, he said, because sin separates us from God. And he said, we get cleansed by Jesus Christ and we enter fellowship with God the Father in this community that he's building of apostles and disciples. But if we're walking in sin and we say we don't have sin, then we're walking in darkness and we break from the fellowship that's ours in God. I want to take that up next week more because there's a lot here for us, friends. But today, let's let the light of Christ shine in our heart. Let's acknowledge our sin. Let's walk in freedom. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.